With the students of Emmanuel coming from a variety of states, it's likely that a few of you flew over the Christmas break in order to get to one's destination in the shortest possible manner, as was the case with our family. Some of you apparently went to airports and there boarded planes. But with concerns over terrorism being what they are, the process was not quite as simple as simply going to the airport and stepping onto a plane. The FAA has set up checkpoints which need to be passed in order to actually board. Carry-on luggage is searched for dangerous or suspicious materials, and as a person passes through the process, he or she is required to provide proof of his or her identity. Those who are 18 years or older have to show one of these, a driver's license, or some other form of government-issued ID in order to get onto the plane. Leave your ID at home, and you'll be staying at home. Pay no attention to the requirements, and you won't be allowed on board. That is but one example of the relatively common need to have some kind of pass in order to gain access. For various reasons, a variety of venues are restricted to the general public. Different types of locations and activities require people to have certain documentation if they are allowed to enter. That's true in the realm of physical things. It's also true in the realm of things spiritual. The most important of these being the gaining of access to God and eternal life. As much as the Lord dearly wants all people to be with him in paradise, there is only one way by which a person can gain access to him, a point made by the Apostle Paul in the third chapter of Ephesians. He speaks of the eternal purpose which he, God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access, with confidence, through faith in him. Originally, we, along with the entire human race, were locked out. We were banished from the presence of the Holy God by virtue of our sin. An impenetrable spiritual wall was erected because of our iniquity. There was no entry for anyone unholy, no admission for anyone impure. And that was a huge problem, because everything said or done by us in our natural condition is impure, is unholy. Earlier in Ephesians, Paul states how we were by nature children of wrath, just like the others. Our sinful condition not only barred us from the presence of the Holy God who possesses the light and life we need, it placed us under his divine condemnation. We were doomed to perish, stranded in this sin-cursed world, facing a future filled with nothing but misery. Our ID cards, so to speak, were smudged with all sorts of sin and iniquity, revealing us to be the traitors to the kingdom of God that we are, those who are never able to gain access to God on our own. Thankfully, the one to whom we had forfeited all access lovingly drew near to us, not to unleash the wrath we deserved, but to provide a way of salvation. He directed his Son to leave the heavenly throne, to travel to us, to take on human nature, to take our place, live our life, die our death, pay the blood that would atone for our sins. He was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The sin which shut us out from God's presence was removed. The guilt which barred us from the gates of glory was taken down. Our lack of righteousness was replaced by the righteousness of Christ, and that changed our identity. Think of it in terms of getting a double exposure on your ID card. God took every identification of every single human being and superimposed on it the image of his Son. I am still I, you are still you, we are still sinners. But God now sees you and me through Jesus. When he looks at us, he sees his Son, and he sees his Son's perfection. Show up at the gates of heaven now, and it's clear sailing into God's presence and the paradise he has prepared. Show up, that is, with the proper ID. Show up with the faith that clings to Jesus and puts its confidence solely in his merits. That's the opposite of what the unbelieving world does. It has no faith in what God has done for us. It sees no benefit in what Jesus came to do on our behalf. It's as though unbelievers leave this newly double exposed ID card at home, thinking they can gain access to eternal life on their own. The unbelieving heart figures it can come before the presence of a holy God and plead its own merit and works. But the gates remain firmly locked for such. No access, no standing in the presence of God, no reception of his light and life. To those who come in simple faith, however, the gates fling wide open. Paul declares that Jesus Christ is the one in whom we have access to God with boldness and confidence through faith in him. God's gift of simple faith is all that we need. It's the only thing that works to bring us into the presence of the Almighty and to receive from him the very best of blessings here in time and in eternity, something which is true now not only for Jews, but also for us Gentiles. In this season of Epiphany, we are reminded of how God's grace has given access also to us Gentiles, those whom the Bible says were once far off. He came and preached, Paul says, to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And when we have access to God, we have access to the assurance that we will share in heavenly glory. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. With faith in hand, we now have the ticket to glory. But even before we experience eternal bliss, having access to God has tremendous benefit here in time. For access to God through faith guarantees that we have the ears of God and can bring before him all of our prayers, petitions, needs in the confidence that he will respond and answer. It is to those who believe in Jesus as Savior that may now boldly approach the throne of God, where we may receive grace to help in time of need. Every person alive right now has gained access to the year 2016. But we have been given a far, far higher privilege: access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the best way to enter a new year, a new week, a new day. For through faith in Jesus, we've been given access already now to the ears of God, who is anxious to hear our petitions and respond to them. And through Jesus, faith in Jesus, we've been given access to paradise itself, which is ready to receive us as soon as the Lord calls us home to himself. With Jesus now in the picture on our spiritual ID card, we can head out, pass through, and move on with confidence. The grace of God necessary for any new year is given expression in the form of hymn 716, stanzas 3, 4, 6, and 7. 716, 3, 4, and 6, and 7.